now, Lord, and I just pray, Father, that, Father, you just open heaven's gates, Father. Just pour your spirit down on this place, Father, today. Father, I pray for Chad and lift him to you, Father, as he stands here before us and presents the word, Father. Lord, just speak through him, Father. Give him boldness to speak, Father. Lord, I do lift up Vacation Bible School, Father, and Father, just all the people who are willing to serve, Father, Lord, and the children, Father, Lord, just bless us, Father, bless the sermon, Father, and just as Chad always says, go, Father. So I just thank you and praise you, and ask these things in your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. If you would grab your Bible, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. Over the last several weeks, we have been following Elijah and watching him, learning from his story, diving in, trying to understand some of the things that were going on and how God used him. I pray that it has been very encouraging to you, as it has been for me. Today, we are going to tackle a topic that, in the life of Elijah, that is one that probably somewhere along the line, you and I have either experienced in our own lives or someone close to us. And my prayer is that some of the truths that we talk about here today will not only set us free in free from fear, anxiety, or depression, but also something that God will be able to use as we share his truths with others, that we walk alongside. And so to kind of help illustrate this a little bit, I found, some great wisdom from social media that I wanted to share with you. Always a great place to get it, right? Here is one lady who said, after 6 hours of feeling anxious about it, I am happy to report that I have completed the task that only took me 4 minutes, right? Is this not true? So many times we get so anxious about something that's coming or I got to do, and man, I finish it, and I'm like, okay, that wasn't bad at all. Next thing, here's a guy, anxiety is, okay, what if this happens? And then, naturally we're like, but it won't happen. And then anxiety is right there to tell us, but what if it does, right? And so these are thoughts that go on in our minds all the time. Look at this one. You wake up thinking the day's going to be great, right? But anxiety is like, good, you're up, right? And so many times we deal with these thoughts that just plague us. I think I have one more. Here's one guy that says, I don't struggle with anxiety. It actually comes very easy to me, So my point is today that fear and anxiety, depression is rampant today in our culture. And I think that it always has been, but for whatever reason, we see it affecting so many of us all the time. And listen, our young people are not immune. And Drew has got to do surveys and ask questions of our youth. And I want you to know that the youth, even within our church, are dealing with anxiety, depression, fear. But as we look at adults in our own lives, we see why. It's because we do as well. And so today, I want us to look at a man of God, a man that we would look at and say, man, if anyone should not have fear and anxiety, it should be Elijah because of what he has experienced. But I want to tell you that there is none of us immune from it. And so let's dive in and seek to understand. If you're able to and don't mind standing with me in honor of God's word, we will begin in verse 1 of chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he, talking about Elijah, was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones
and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. Father, we bow before you. We're so thankful for your word and for the truth that it brings. Lord, I pray that today that we will understand that the battle has already been won. Lord, I pray that we will put our hope and our faith in you, and that, Lord, that through that, you would help us to overcome anything that we face in this life. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. A couple of things that I want to tackle today is the first one is to understand why fear, anxiety, and depression might have come to the life of Elijah. Now, remember what Elijah had experienced. He had been called by God to go and speak to this king, this evil king, about all that he had been doing. And in the power and strength of the Lord, he was obedient and went and stood before the king and told him that it would not rain. There would be neither dew nor rain. Then what happened was, is God took care of him miraculously, even bringing him bread and meat by ravens. Then taking care of him even more, sending him to a widow who miraculously didn't run out of food and was able to continue to feed him. Her son died, and Elijah saw the power of God raise him from the dead. Then God comes to him again and tells him to go back to this evil king and to tell him that rain was coming. Now, when he went to the king, he brought about this showdown, right, where all of the prophets of Baal and Asherah, some 850, he brought all of Israel together, and the prophets of this false god made an altar, and he made an altar, and he told them before the people of Israel, he said, if Baal is God, worship him. But if Yahweh, the one true God, if he is God, then we must worship him. And all the people said that it would be good. And so they stepped forward. The Baals called, yelled, cut themselves, blood upon the altar to call to this false god, but he didn't answer. Then Elijah stepped forward. He put the bull on the altar. He fixed it. Had water poured all over it. Stepped forward and asked God to reveal himself. Fire comes from heaven. Not only takes the sacrifice, but the altar itself, the water that had been pulled around it, everything was consumed. The power of God had shown up. The mighty power then to put all those prophets to death. He comes before the king and even says, get ready because rain is coming. He goes up on the mountain to pray to God. And with great specific prayer and power, he asks God to bring rain. Seven times he sends a servant to go look. And on the seventh time he comes back and he says, there is a small cloud the size of a man's hand. And he says, go tell the king he must hurry because rain is coming. God responded with grace, brought rain upon the land. We think of all of that and we think of the powerful hand of God. And we ask ourselves, how in the world then could a guy like that be scared of one woman who had threatened to kill him? How can a guy who has experienced the hand of God reach a point of fear, anxiety, or despair? And then in the same way, we ask ourselves, how can someone like me, who has experienced the mighty hand of God, or who knows all the things that God can do, how can I get to a place where I get lost in my thoughts, or I begin to believe these lies? And we find ourselves in a similar place of despair. And I think that sometimes we think we're all alone in this. But I think if we were honest, or if all of us were honest, we've all had moments or seasons of times when these thoughts come. And so what do we do? Well, how did Elijah get to this? And so real quick, a few things that I want to point out that could have been factors for Elijah to be fearful, have anxiety and depression. The first one is maybe he was completely exhausted. You know, we live in such a busy world that if we're not careful, every minute of every day will be planned. And listen, As a father of three girls, I know what it's like chasing kids. And if we're not careful, parents, we can even get to the point where we allow the kids to dictate how we live our lives or what we're going to. A little word I want to teach you that I want you to practice and use is no, right? It's okay to tell them, look them in the eye and say, no, we're not going to do that because you have a responsibility to lead your family. Listen, if you cannot remember the last time, or even if it's not on a regular basis, that you sit down and eat dinner around the table and look each other in the eye and communicate, if you can't remember that or do that on a regular basis, then you might be too busy. And listen, what's sad is even when we do have downtime, we just fill it with noise. And if I have downtime, maybe I sit in front of the TV and watch very uplifting things like the news or something, right? And I just walk away just feeling inspired for the day. No, right? We fill it with this noise, and all it does is bring more anxiety. Or even if you're not watching TV, you sit down and you have a little bit of downtime, you'll pick up social media, and man, you'll start to scroll through that. Another very uplifting thing that if we're not careful, it will just plague us. Because one of the things I want to let you know is that people only post the best. And so if we're not careful, we'll start looking through that and be like, man, I wish my marriage was like that. I wish my guy would do that. Or, man, I wish, wow, man, look how much they travel, right? We start thinking about all the things. But I want to let you know, when a couple, a husband and wife, when they have a fight, they're not like, let's take a selfie of this. You know, they don't do that. It's because they only post the best. And if I'm not careful, I'll start looking through all of that and feel as though my life is lacking. Brings more anxiety. Brings more depression. And so we've got to be careful that we are not just exhausted. Here, Elijah, he ran 16 miles ahead of the king. But here it says he went all the way to Beersheba. Beersheba is 95 miles away from Jezreel. 95 miles. It's in the southern tip of Judah. And then he didn't stop there, but he left his servant there, and he even went further on into the wilderness, into the desert. And so not only is he exhausted, but maybe he also, we see that he isolates himself. Man, we do this too. I'll just be honest with you. When I am stressed or worried, I isolate. I get into a place where I don't have to think, and I isolate myself. And listen, this is not healthy. Because when we isolate, the thoughts that start to flood our mind, or what happens when we isolate, we start to turn maybe to something that is definitely unhealthy. Because we're all alone or because no one's around, we'll turn to things we know are wrong. That's when things like gambling or things like alcohol or things like some sort of substance, that's when those things really start to become factors in our lives because we isolate. And I just want to say, man, look at the pattern of our lives. Don't isolate. Did you know that we have believed this lie that our faith with God is just a personal faith? It is not a me faith. It is meant to always be a we faith. We're meant to do this as a family. We're meant to do this as small groups and as groups of men and women to where we live out this faith together. Every letter that is written to the gathering at so-and-so. Or it's written to a group of people to even encourage one another or stand beside one another or strengthen one another. And you cannot live out the one another's unless you are connected to people and known by people. So, and I want to challenge you, get connected. Join a small group. Invite people into your lives. And then, you know, what's sad is we can even come and be part of things like this or even go to a small group but still be isolated because we're not honest. People don't really know us. They don't know our struggles. They don't know the things that are really going on in life. And so we've got to be careful of this isolation. Especially, I'm not saying this is just, but as a man, I can speak as a man. This, men, we struggle with this. Because It's always been, I can do this on my own. I'm strong. And so this is something that we definitely, maybe I just need to speak for myself, I struggle with. So another thing is that we see Elijah do here is he only thinks about the worst. And I don't think it's just the worst, but it's also the what ifs. And if we're not careful, those will plague our minds. Like, for instance, if I don't know the answer on whether or not what you said to me, if I don't know what you meant and I need to clarify, man, the enemy's always good at saying, oh, they mean this, right? And it's never good. It's always the worst. And so what I'm saying is that this can happen in life, especially if you're a people pleaser. If you're a people pleaser, then people will say something to you or look at you, and you'll be like, well, what did they mean by that? And I'm sure they don't like me. And we're like, well, you just assume that I don't like you because you see what I'm saying? How we can start twisting and get in there. So we see this in Elijah's life. In verse 4, listen to what he said. He says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, sat down under the broom tree, and this is what he says, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father. Some of your translation will say ancestors, right? He's looking to the worst of everything. Take my life. I'm no good to you anymore, right? He's saying the very worst of everything. Later on, he even tells God, I'm the only one left, right? I'm the only prophet. And so, man, you've got to realize when your thinking becomes stinking thinking, right? I mean, it will get in there and we'll start to twist and to turn, and before you know it, man, you are just a no good anybody if you start to believe that. Another thing Elijah did is he immediately forgot about God's faithfulness. Forgot about how faithful God was. He forgot about all that God did in his life and man, he was there, he provided, he took care. And listen, if I'm only thinking of the worst and I don't believe that God can overcome these, then it's always going to be things like, I will never overcome this addiction or problem. I will never have a good relationship. People will never like me. We start using these words that just aren't true. And something that's kind of been on my heart. If you don't have close friends, then think about what kind of friend you have been, right? Like, good friends have good friends. And so are you a good friend to people? Like, do you reach out? Do you serve? Do you call? Do you just something to think about. Something that's just been convicting in my life. And so, how do we overcome this? Here is some areas or reasons maybe why Elijah had gotten to the place where he's at, but how do we overcome that? First thing, if you're taking notes, is find rest in the presence of God. In verse 5, we see that he lay down and slept under a broom tree. One of the most disobeyed commandment is that of the Sabbath. I mean, that we would just rest. Because we get so busy, we almost feel bad when we rest. Because all we can think about is the things we still have to do. The laundry, the take this there, or to get this done, or to prepare for the next day. And we almost feel bad when we rest. But I want to tell you, for some of you, the greatest, the most spiritual thing you can do is rest in the presence of God. That you would open the Word of God and just rest with Him. Think about maybe what was said in your small group or during the preaching time of the Word, and that you just rest and reflect and think about. Man, turn the noise off. Put your phone up. And then just say, God, would you restore my soul? You know, Scott Robinson has a shirt that says, Jesus took naps, be like Jesus. And some of you just need to take a nap, all right? And just be okay with that. Man, naps are just can be restoring. And so rest before the Lord. Yes, Pastor just said, take a nap. So, second thing, if you're taking notes, is recognize the voice from below. Recognize the voice from below. Now, in the New Testament, we see Jesus ask his disciples, who do people say that I am? Now, Peter spoke up real quickly, right? And he says, well, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. after others have already said, well, some say Elijah, some say, right, all these things. And but Peter stood up and he says, you're the Christ. And Jesus looked at him and he says, well, that wasn't given to you by man. That was from God. But just, I mean, right after this, Jesus is talking about what's getting ready to be happy. He's going to be arrested. He's going to ultimately die. And Peter rises up and says, no, that will never happen. I will put down my life before that happened. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Right? In that moment, Peter stood up and he spoke what was against the will of God. Now, you and I, we've got to be careful. Like Elijah, we can start to believe things that are not true. And in believing those things, it will affect us as though it's true. For instance, Elijah, God, after he eats the cake and he goes, God tells him to go to a certain place, to Mount Horeb, which is the mountain of God, literally where the Ten Commandments were given to Moses. And he goes into a cave, and ultimately God says, what are you doing here? God knew what he was doing there, right? He sent him there. But, I mean, I think sometimes God wants us to, like, say it out loud. Like, there are times when I am preaching and I say something and I literally have to stop and be like, whoa, that was good. Now, they may be in my notes. I may have even known I was going to say it. Listen to me. I'm not being prideful. I'm saying that, like, there are times that's the first time I heard it was when I said it. And I have to say, wow. That, I mean, and literally hold back tears in that moment because God has just convicted my heart of something that I put in my notes for you, right? And sometimes God wants us to say it because then when we say it, we're like, wow, that's dumb, isn't it? And we're like, yeah, like you've been believing that. That's really dumb. It's like the first time you say it, that's not true, is it? No, that's not true at all. And so he actually asked him twice, what are you doing here? And he tells him all these things, and some of them were true. But then he says, I'm the only prophet left. And God tells him later in verse 18, he actually tells him, no, there's 7,000 who have never bent the knee to Baal. You're not alone. But sometimes we start to believe these things, and it gets us so worked up. God can't use us. And so here, we've got to recognize this voice from below. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this. Hold your place here. Turn with me to John chapter 8. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. Turn to verse 8, or chapter 8. Starting in verse 42, Jesus is talking to some people, and he's actually explaining why they don't understand what he's saying. And I think this happens a lot. Sometimes we go to church, we don't understand, we're not really connected. This is really the answer as to why it doesn't land a lot of times. Listen, verse 42 of chapter 8. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Here it is. It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Some of your translation will say that when he speaks his native language or his native tongue. He says, but because I tell you, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Here, Jesus said that sometimes when we, if we identify and recognize the voice from below, listen, it's going to speak lies and half-truths. It's going to speak things that sometimes sound true, like they're true-ish to us, and so we grab a hold of them, and we're like, well, you know, he'll tell us things like you're worthless, or you can't, or you're weak. Sometimes we just need to agree and say, yes, I am weak. That's why I need Jesus. And then run to Jesus. But we must learn to recognize that voice from below. And the only way you know the voice from below, just as Peter, he stood up, really thought he was doing good here. No, that's not going to happen. Well, that was against the will of God, just like the voice from below. And so we have to recognize that. And the way that we do is we listen to the voice from above. When we listen to the voice from above, then we identify what that truth is. And that it's true. And that it's of the will of God. And because it's of the will of God, it will always move forward. Some of us, when life happens, and it's going to, this life is hard. And we're actually promised that. So when it's hard, we need to recognize that it's hard. And instead of saying, why, God, and come to this point of despair, just take my life, right? As Elijah is crying out here, we need to ask the question, okay, God, this has happened. What next? What do you want me to do that brings you honor and glory? I'm ready. I am your servant. I know that the battle has already won and that one day I'm going to be with you. Amen. So whatever you want, if that means death now, that's okay. You're God. But Lord, if you want me to bring you honor and glory, even in the midst of the hardest thing I've ever gone through, here I am. Right? That's a completely different perspective. It's a perspective that is all, it puts God in the center. You're not the center of this thing. And when you put yourself at the center, then it's all about you and your comforts and your desires. It's not about you. It's never been about you. It's always been about the one true God. Listen, he is the hero of every story in this Bible. It's not David as he stood before Goliath. It's not Elijah as he stood before the prophets. It is always the power of God who comes in moments. And so that should give you and I the greatest encouragement and confidence that when we are weak, we run to the feet of a God who has all power and authority. And we trust him. When we're in despair and we're depressed and when we're fearful, we run to the one who holds the world in the palm of his hand. And we say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have the strength to take one more step. But I believe you and I trust you. God, give me the grace to take one more step. And then trust him in that. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Listen, that hasn't come yet. I just need the strength for that next step. Amen? That next step. Lord, give me the strength for the next step. What do you want me to do? How do I bring you honor? How do I bring glory? Tomorrow is going to have enough worries of its own, right? Wait till it comes. You trust him for today. Look to him. Listen to the voice from above. Man, it's already been won. Some of you have walked through despair. You have walked through anxiety, depression. And I want to do something we don't do very often, but I want you just to tell me the truth that you stood on to get you through that time of despair. Out loud, tell me. What truth did you stand on? The word from above, right? Voice from above. What did you stand on? It could be the word of God. It could be something that someone told you in the midst of. What word, voice from above, did you stand on to get you through or maybe currently is getting you through the time of despair right now? Yes. Amen. That's right. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's right. Someone else? Yeah. That's right. Yeah, just go. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. One right here in the middle. That's right. Amen. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Only truth. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Take heart. Overcome the world. Yeah. Amen. see these truths. Not knowing the stories of what you have been walking through or the valleys you've had to go. It's these truths that we stand on. It's not the voice from below. Because listen, if we don't have a truth that we're standing on, he's going to feed us a lie. And we'll start to try to stand on that. And when we do, it just leads us more to isolate, more to despair, more to believe these things. And so it's the Word of God that we stand on. We see here that not only do we listen to the voice from above, but we must be obedient to what God has commanded us. In verse 15, I'll start in 11. And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passes by." And a great, great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Here he stood out. And as you can imagine, as the wind tore through the mountain, he probably perked up. "There you are, Lord." And then it wasn't. And then the earthquake. Okay, that's got to be him. No. And then fire. And you know that it came to Elijah's mind. God has always showed up in fire. He's the fire, the pillar. It led the Israelites' fires. It rained down on the altar. But he wasn't in the fire. But it was that low whisper. Now, if I whisper something to you, I'm probably pretty close to you, right? I love how this pictures the closeness and intimacy of God. Here he is, this gentle whisper. Jesus gives us this encouragement that his sheep will hear his voice and his sheep will know his voice. Do you know the voice of God? After he asks Elijah, "What are you doing here?" Elijah said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts." This is a true statement. "For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword." All of that's true. "And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Now that's a lie. That's from the voice from below, right? "And the Lord said to him, 'Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael, to be king over Syria.'" And then he tells him to go to Jehu, who he is also to anoint as king. And then he's to go to Elisha, who will take his place as prophet. Now, I say all of that to say, you see, all of this time, in his depression, in his fear, anxiety, the Lord said, "Go be obedient to what I have for you. Go do what prophets do. Go and serve." I want you to know, it's really hard to be so focused on yourself and yet still serve others, right? So this week I got a call from a lady. She didn't go to our church, but her family's connected to our church, and she does home health. And she says, "Chad, there's a I've never met you, but I just wanted you to know there's a guy just two doors down from the church who has had cancer. He's had surgery, but he thinks he's going to die, and he's been asking about Jesus." And she says, "I'm a believer, but I don't really feel comfortable, you know, talking to him about those things. And would you talk to him?" And I said, "Well, sure." And I said, "Well, why don't I go with you? That way, too, you can be a part of the conversation and we can pray for him." And she said, "Sure." So this week I went. I got to sit down with this gentleman and share with him about the greatest news that we've ever had, that we've ever heard. I got to share with him about the love that God has for us. I got to share with him about the fact that we have all sinned and we deserve the wrath of God. And I shared with him about God's love for him, though, and how he sent Jesus to die and to pay the price for our sin. And that if we would believe in him, that he would make us new, that he would give us himself, his presence, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we would become new people. We'd be forgiven of our sin, and that we would have eternity with him. And so I asked him, I said, this may be something I would challenge you to think about. And he looked at me and he said, sir, I don't need to think about anything. I want to give my life to Jesus. And in that moment, I said, well, man, I want to tell you, there's no magic words. If you just call to God and put your faith in him, man, he says that you can know him and walk with him. So we bowed, and this gentleman, through his tears, called out to God and prayed a beautiful prayer, asking the Lord to forgive him, to make him new. And listen, it's really hard to focus upon my despair when God is all the time desiring you and I to go to those who are lonely, who are hurting, who have, if someone doesn't go, will spend eternity separated from him. But this is what happens. We become so lax in the mission and the commands that God has given us. We have all this time to focus upon the things of this world. And we take our eyes off of the eternity that he has called us, the mission that he has called us to be a part of. And we put them on ourselves. And we think about what we don't have or what we should be receiving. We start to believe the lies that we're unusable to God. And before we know it, we're spiraling down this tunnel of thoughts that only lead us in despair. I want you to know, we have a God who loves us, who has not left us alone, and that we can find rest in him. We can recognize him and start to identify these lies that we've been believing, sometimes standing on, sometimes building our lives on. And I want to tell us, listen to the truth. Trust it. And remember his faithfulness. Remember the things that he has got you through. Be obedient to his commands because he is faithful today as he has always been faithful. Trust him. And so if you would you join with me as we bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we bow before you. We want to praise you for being a God who has all power, all authority. We want to thank you that the battle is already won. Lord, forgive us when we take our eyes off of you and we start putting it upon these battles that really in the perspective of eternity are pretty meaningless. Lord, I pray that we would stand upon your truth, that we'd listen for the voice from above, and that we would follow you and we would trust you. Lord, forgive us when we have made this life about ourselves and we have completely neglected the mission that you have given us. Lord, help us to trust you. If you're here today and this fear and anxiety and depression, maybe even times feeling like there's no hope. Maybe even like Elijah, you would say, maybe you have said, Lord, take my life. You know, he asked Elijah, what are you doing here? Maybe you have never even acknowledged to anyone that you've had this despair. Sometimes it's healing just acknowledging it, knowing that there are steps you need to take forward. If this morning, maybe for the first time, or if that's you, you're saying, I feel that. I'm walking in that, fearful, anxious, depressed. Would you be so bold as just to acknowledge? Would you allow me just to pray for you? Would you just raise your hand right where you're at? Just to acknowledge, maybe to yourself or to someone else, I'm walking in that right now. Just right where you're at, raise your hand. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. God, I pray for each one of these. Lord, I pray that in this moment, that your presence would overwhelm me. The peace that surpasses understanding Lord, would overwhelm them. God, I pray that from this day forward that they would recognize lies and only stand on the solid rock of your truth. When we turn to John 8 and Jesus was describing the lies of the God of this world, if this morning you would say, you know, I don't know that I've ever truly trusted in Jesus and began a relationship with Him. I wouldn't say that I've been transformed and made new. But today, just like this gentleman I talked to this week, you would say, I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want to be made new. I want to believe in Jesus. And you would say right now, you believe that God is leading you to make that decision. Would you be willing to acknowledge that? Would you just lift your hand up to say, right now, I want to believe in Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want to be made new. I want to follow the Lord and walk with Him and be obedient to Him. Anyone? Right now, just lift up your hand. I want to believe in Jesus. Father, I pray for these. I ask, Lord, that in this moment they would call to you, knowing that it's not some certain words, but it is belief in you and what you have done upon the cross. You died, rose from the dead, proving that you are God. Lord, I pray that in this moment they would call to you and trust you. God, you are so good. I pray that today that there would be freedom from fear and anxiety and depression, and that today we would trust in you. God, we love you. We need you. Lead and guide us. It's in the name of Jesus that we